The scent of smoldering leaves, the wail of steamers, two lovers on the street who walk like dreamers. Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me of you.
Andrea Marcovici is an actress and singer who, throughout her long career as a cabaret performer, has played a role in keeping the Great American Songbook alive. This month, she celebrates an unprecedented 25 years at the Algonquin Hotel's Oak Room with her latest show, No Strings. It runs through December 30th, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Andrea Marcovici back to our show. Hello.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm okay. Now, good. There were strings on, or at least one string,
well,
on
certainly
that.
On that great recording from a long time ago.
So, but now you would prefer not to perform with strings? You
oh,
like
no,
just the piano
no,
and bass?
No.
No strings.
No strings refers to the wonderful sense of freedom that you get when you travel. Mm-hmm. The whole show is about travel, and it's celebrating my 25th anniversary at the Algonquin. And the theme is travel, so I'm singing about London and Paris and New York and various spots on the road. The show, the songs include Two for the Road and A Foggy Day in London Town. And the song No Strings itself, which is the Irving Berlin No Strings, which is no strings and no connections, mm-hmm. no ties to my affections. I'm fancy free and free for anything. Fancy. It's not the literal interpretation of no strings. I have a bassist who plays with me.
Yeah, he has,
it's more
he
that
plays strings.
Feeling of freedom that you get on the road and being able to feel perhaps that frisson of excitement when you know you're going to travel.
Well, I can see wanting to go to London or Paris, but do you like being in those Holiday Inns when you're traveling across the country?
I've had everything from the greatest places to stay to some of the ones that make you think of Psycho. You know, like really terrifying places. But mostly I've been very blessed. But there's always a sense of homesickness when you're away and a little bit of restlessness when you're at home. And that's really the plot of the show. It starts with Sail Away and Let's Get Away From It All. I sing
Sail
song
Away,
about,
the Randy Newman song?
No, the Sail Away by Noel Coward.
Ah.
And Let's Get Away From It All. I have a brand new song about the Algonquin called Back at the Algonquin. I have a brand new song about Paris that Tom Tose wrote, and it's brand new. But it's really about the concept of what it means to be what I call a road warrior, having the courage to be away a great deal of my life, singing all around, and yet having a home life. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I've somehow been able to raise a child and be away a great deal at the same time.
You grew up in New York, but...
I grew up in New York. I moved in 1978.
Because of the acting career?
Because of my acting career, yeah.
And well, nowadays a lot of actors prefer to stay in New York because it's not the way it used to be, where you had to be in Los Angeles.
Oh, by no means. As a matter of fact, there's an enormous amount of activity here in New York. I've always wanted to do a Law and Order, and I've never done it. I don't think it's too late. I would love it.
Well, there's a whole bunch of shows being filmed here. The
yeah.
Good Wife, for example.
Oh, I love The Good Wife, don't you?
Yes.
That's a great show.
Although it's interesting that New York is filling in for Chicago in that case. In fact, it's Greenpoint that's filling in for Chicago.
I like Chicago, too. I sing in Chicago quite a lot.
Now, reviews have called you a heartbreaker, a temptress, and in a piece called The Great Deceiver, Daniel Okrent wrote, "For what Marcovici does is make you believe in the song, the singer, and the emotional transportation contained in their conjunction. When she's on stage singing and singing to you alone, she's the one true love of your life, and your wife is just your roommate." So is that an occupational hazard, making people like Daniel Okrent fall in love with you?
Oh, I wouldn't call that a hazard. I would call that delicious.
But he's suggesting that you apply your acting skills to singing the song.
Every song that I choose has to have the ability to support an actress's sensibility. The lyric comes first. The melody is terribly important, but I've always approached my songs from an actress's... all of the needs of an actress have to come first. So lyrics are by far my number one... criteria when I choose a song. What he's talking about is that a cabaret artist needs to break the fourth wall, needs to include the audience, needs to lower her gaze, and sing directly to the hearts and minds of the audience that's there.
And you
yes,
sing.
It always feels like I'm singing directly to you and you alone. You know why? Because I am.
And you actually go further. You go directly up to people in the audience.
I do.
Sometimes even touch them.
Yes. I never make them uncomfortable, though. It's not one of those things where somebody's going to cringe and say, oh, get away from me. And if they, I always know who doesn't want that. I always sense it. My father
People
was,
don't raise their hands and say, me, me, me?
Sometimes they do. Or sometimes a wife will point to her husband and say, spoil him. And I'll sense that that's what they want. But my father was a doctor and a healer. And I've always thought I inherited that sense of how to know what somebody needs.
And then you also encourage the audience to join in.
Okay.
Do people ever refuse? Or what happens when you hear somebody who's totally tone deaf joining in? Does that bother you?
I don't think I've ever heard it. And usually somebody who doesn't want to sing, they just won't sing. I can't say I've ever noticed anyone who's tone deaf. No.
Where did it begin with you? As an actress or as a singer? I know you
I was a folk singer. And I had such terror of singing that I was lucky enough to start on a soap opera, Love is a Many Splendored Thing. And then I sang on the soap opera. And during the time that I was on the soap opera, I started on Broadway and off-Broadway. I went out to L.A., and every now and then during those wonderful times of the great shows like Kojak and Mannix and Medical Center and Beretta and all those things, even Taxi, they let me sing on those shows. So by the mid-'80s, when I went back to my career as a cabaret singer, I was known as both. And ever since then, I've done everything I could to be in musical theater and be in cabaret and still act. And I've done them all equally.
And how did you wind up going from a folk singer to somebody who focused on the Great American Songbook?
Well, my mother was a torch singer. She sang in the 40s. She's still singing. She sings every Thursday with me. At the age of 92, she wows the crowd. So I had a repertoire from my mother's time. And somewhere deep inside, I always knew that I was going to inherit that repertoire.
And you prefer the torch songs?
Well, lately, I've needed myself to get happier and happier and happier. So the torch songs are fewer and farther between as I've gotten older. As a matter of fact, next year's show is called Smile. Because I feel people are getting so worried about the election and money, and they seem to be so angry with each other that next year is entirely devoted to songs that make you smile.
But let's talk a bit about the Great American Songbook. Did that end when rock and roll became the dominant popular form, or do you think that
not completely.
The Great American Songbook is being added to?
Constantly, constantly. After all, Sondheim is after rock and roll. Cy Coleman continued after rock and roll. There are new writers that I have collected over the years. I did a whole wonderful CD called New Words. There are, as I said, three new songs. There's also a song. There's a song by Tom Toese, Enid Futterman, and Michael Cohen. There's a song by my own musical director in this show. There are many new writers contributing constantly to the American Popular Songbook. It's a question of having lyrics that rhyme without false rhymes, melodies that soar, emotions that carry. It's still there.
A friend of mine asked her kid and some of her friends to sing a Beatles song, and even though they were 11 years old, they knew Beatles songs.
My daughter knows them all.
So then she asked them to sing a Lady Gaga song, and they couldn't do it because there was no melody there. There's something else going on in that kind of music. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's really about...
That is about the complete package. A Lady Gaga song is about the intensity of the rhythm, the intensity of the production value, what she's doing on camera. There's a lot going on. But I couldn't sing a Lady Gaga song. I know.
And you wouldn't want to wear meat, would you?
Not tonight. Not tonight. And not in the Oak Room. Although it might bring Matilda the Cat into the Oak Room again. That would be kind of fun. No, the Beatles songs, I consider that part of the American Popular Songbook, by the way. I've often sung Beatles in that room.
Because they have what strong about, melodies.
And, yes, and what about Simon and Garfunkel? That's American popular songbook. Some of the Beach Boys I've sung. I think they're, oh, wow, Stevie Wonder. That's American popular songbook. That's existed past the 60s. There's tons of, I've sung Leaving on a Jet Plane in the Oak Room. That's Peter, Paul, and Mary. I mean, that's John Denver, actually. But, I mean, there are many, many, many aspects that have continued forward and will continue forward. But it's not going to be that overly produced, dependent on the camera kind of rock and roll.
My guess is Andrea Markovici, who is celebrating her 25th anniversary at the Algonquin Hotel's Oak Room with her latest show called No Strings. It runs through the 30th of this month. I mentioned Lady Gaga's meat dress. How important are costumes, jewelry, and perfume for
me?
Incredibly. Of your time?
Every show has its own look. I usually have 2 to 3 jackets that cover the dress so that I can switch looks during the show as the songs progress, as the feelings change. And I do have my own perfume. Isn't that extraordinary? It's called Andrea Song, and it was created for me. And we're actually having a special Christmas sale now on all of the CDs and even on the perfume, even though it's very
rare. If you order now.
Well, no, if you come to the show, I'm having a special Christmas sale of all the CDs and the perfume. It's a beautiful perfume, very evocative of the past, evocative of Arpège and the old-fashioned perfumes. And it lasts and lingers in your clothes the way a good perfume should. We're doing a special show. We're there on the night of the 23rd, and we're there on Christmas Eve at 7:30, and on Boxing Day, on Monday at 7:30. And we're going to last straight through until the 30th, which I do 2 shows on the night of the 30th, which is Christmas, which is New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. which is nice. It's a holiday tradition, and the Algonquin looks so beautiful at the holidays.
Is the patter between songs improvised ever, or do you work that out as part of the act?
It changes constantly, but it's definitely decided upon months and months and months in advance. And here's the reason. Clearly, I have a beginning, middle, and an end to my show. I workshop the show for a year before I bring it in. I did a workshop at the Gardenia last spring. Then I worked all summer, and then I did it again in October. And that's my responsibility as an artist, to deliver to you what is equivalent to a play. It's no different than going to see a Broadway show.
You mentioned that your mother was a singer, and you bring her on stage now. She's 92?
She's 92. She'll be there on Christmas Eve, and she'll be there on the 29th. And she sings so exquisitely. She has her own album, which we did when she was 89. That was her second album. She comes up and she sings, "Seems like old times, having you to walk with seems like old times." And the audience goes, and she's extraordinary, her power. It's incredible.
Just one more thing. Some of the songs that you play, we may have a faint memory of. That you sing, songs like When Yuba Plays the Rumba and the Tuba. Do you go on searches for material when you're putting together a new act?
Of course I do. But after 25 years, sometimes I'm searching through my own repertoire. Although it was Shelley Markham who decided that I should do Let's Get Away From It All, which is a song that I had not done in the past. I always wanted to do When Yuba Plays the Rumba on the Tuba Down in Cuba because I'd always talked about it because it was written by Herman Hupfeld, who wrote As Time Goes By. I have a delightful song called What Do They Do on a Rainy Night in Rio? And I knew it from a Leo Robbins show that I had done in the past. But I'd never done See the Pyramids in Along the Nile. I'd never done that, and it seemed perfect for this show.
Well, we're going to go out with you singing Supper Time by Irving Berlin, pretty much the greatest songwriter that ever lived, although Cole Porter, Harold Arlen, there's a whole bunch of people who are stiff competition. And you can see Andrea Markovici now through the 30th at the Oak Room at the Algonquin Hotel. She's celebrating her 25th anniversary there. It's a pleasure having
you
back.
Thank you. It was wonderful
today.
To talk to you, and I wish you the happiest of holidays.
Somehow I'm not able, 'cause that man of mine ain't coming home.